Hey, welcome back to Quest for Peace. I'm Ayaz Zaktar, and this would be the first episode that I'm doing of this show since I moved to New York City. Now, the last time I was on and doing this program, I think I was in Petaluma, where I used to live for about 3 years. I was out in California because I was pursuing this job. You know, I went out there. I was living in New York. I should tell this story a little bit real quick. I was living in New York, and then I got this opportunity at CES. I met up with a friend, and they offered me a job at this little podcasting place in California. And they said the job was in California, and I was like, yeah, I'll go do that. So I quit my job in New York, and I went over to California, and I lived there for a while. And then my marriage deteriorated. So this is a fun opening of the show, isn't it? Marriage deteriorated. My wife and I split up, and she moved with my son over back to New York because she hated California. So I was in California for about a year while my son was growing up on the East Coast, and I would see him very rarely. So I was like, I need a way out. I need to get back to New York because I'm not going to miss out on my son because he's four right now. So what I did was I somehow got a new job at a pretty big company that has offices in California and in New York. And I told them, hey, do you mind if I take the job in New York? And they said, yes, actually, we would like that. You can start in California and you can continue doing your position in New York when you want to move. So we set that up. That happened last December, where I decided to switch jobs. And there was a lot of good reasons why I changed jobs. And a lot of this, why am I talking about this on Quest for Peace? Because a lot of this has to do with my own internal happiness and how to actually be calm and figure out what I want out of my life. Because this show, if you're unfamiliar with it, since I was yammering for so long, if you're unfamiliar with this show, it is not about Superman 4. That joke gets more and more tired the more I say it because that's an old movie. This is about my struggles in finding some kind of internal peace. A lot of folks who know me, they think I'm very intense, and I am intense. I experience emotions intensely, as I've been told by a therapist. I'm always trying to figure a way to be content. And for the longest time, I thought being content was the same as being complacent. So I would always try to do something else, try to create something, try to become something. Just trying not to be comfortable, but trying to be happy. And so since my son was born several years ago, four years ago now, I was thinking, hey, I need to get a handle on my brain because it's like a madhouse in there. You know, it's like an internal angry man constantly going, rah, rah, rah. And I didn't want to deal with that because my son's going to grow up and he's going to have my characteristics in there. And I need to make sure that he has a better way of handling it. And if I'm responsible for him, I'm going to make sure that I have a handle on my own brain so I can tell him, hey, here's a shortcut. Now, I know for a while he's not going to want to listen. He's going to turn into a teenager and rebel at some point, which is fine because everybody does it. But if I have some insights into the way I work, I can help him. That's already helped me in raising him in some degree. Today, started the show late. Why? Because my son wasn't leaving. He was going to go. He's going with Liz, who I live with. I live with my girlfriend, and she was taking Aldrin to the park. My son's name is Aldrin. He's named after the astronaut. And they were going to go to the park, but there was some confusion as to what to bring and what not to bring and whatever. Because you know that he's a kid, so he wants to take one of his cars and whatever. So anyway, I get to see him a lot more, and I'm in New York now, and trying to figure out how to be happy, and so I'm going to talk about this whole move because this whole move has been messing with my happiness. Let's be serious about that, okay? Moving is really freaking stressful. I don't like packing up my stuff and finding new places to live. I especially don't like doing it across the country. I moved out to California 3 years ago, 2011, and I moved back to the East Coast in 2014. So it's a very quick turnaround on this California adventure, as it were. But a cross-country move is very expensive, especially if you have two large dogs. Now, I have two large dogs. They're large dogs according to every apartment complex ever. So I had to decide whether I'm taking them with us or not because they cost money to ship. I'm not gonna take an 8-day excuse me, an 8-day drive across the country. Now, this is the wrong time for somebody to be ringing the bell, and I have to actually get that because if it's important, I should be getting it. So this is going to be a very awkward moment of the show, which is going to require editing. I apologize. I will be right back. I'm sorry. Well, guess this. Get this. Somebody apparently broke the key in the door of our apartment building, which is going to make this so much more fun in the long run. Anyway, so I was talking about moving out here. And moving across the country with dogs is very expensive because I'm not going to drive them 8 days across the country. And I have to find hotels that could take dogs. So that's going to be very expensive and time-consuming. And so I was shipping them with a pet company because that was a thing. But that's pretty pricey. You know, one dog is expensive enough. Two dogs, pretty expensive. So I decided to keep the dogs and pay for their move again across the country. So these are well-traveled dogs. They're sitting over there. You can't see them. But that was one thing. So there's a lot of money involved in moving across the country. And I had a house out there that I had furnished like 3 times because that's even more complicated as a story. So this move was very stressful because I had to look for an apartment on the East Coast. I had to rely upon my very unreliable older brother who, if you guys don't know, I have siblings. I have an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother. My younger brother's birthday is tomorrow, so happy birthday to him. He's turning 32. Tomorrow the 29th. If you're listening to this on the 29th, it's not tomorrow always. It's his birthday actually does happen. So anyway, let's see. This move across the country is very expensive. And so I had to use – this is terrible language. I had to use my brother for help or rely on him. And he did a good job. He came out to apartments. He got to see them. He took pictures. He tried to explain the layouts of them. So actually what happened, I'd be on the phone with him and I'd be drawing out the layout because for some reason he didn't do that. I don't know why I would have done that. But I did that from across the country, just drawing it out. He's like, when you walk in, you turn right and there's a wall. You turn left, there's a kitchen. So I drew these out, actually have it somewhere in this apartment. And I had to find a place and I had to decide what I wanted to do. I work in, I guess it's technically the Midtown East. Okay, I work in the East Side and I hate commuting. I absolutely hate it. When I was in California, when I changed jobs, I was coming from Petaluma all the way to San Francisco every day via bus. So we're talking about an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half on the way back. So every day, about 3 hours, I was wasting in a bus with strangers and terrible suspension. And it would just jostle my internal happiness. Let's just say that. Really challenging kind of thing. So when I also moved out to Petaluma, the reason why I moved to Petaluma in general was because my job was there. I was 1 mile from work. So my commute time was nothing. So I came out here to New York and I'm like, do I bother living close by to work, because that's going to be expensive. I mean, this is Manhattan. It's not like I'm moving out to Nebraska somewhere, Lincoln, Nebraska, which I'm assuming is still very cheap to live in. This is Manhattan. And I had to weigh a bunch of stuff. You know, how much money am I going to pay per month to stay in a place that allows dogs, that is by a subway, that gets me to work in less than about 30 minutes? So a lot of these requirements are very, very high. Like I really wanted something good. And so I had to figure out, is that worth it to me? Is the lack of commute time going to make me feel better on a day-to-day basis? Is being in Manhattan going to be something I want? Because for the longest time, I've wanted to move to Manhattan. I've lived in Manhattan a couple years, maybe 1 or 2 years of my whole life. I'm from Queens, GFQ Network. I'm from Queens. And so I was like, you know, Manhattan's really cool. You don't ever need a car. You can walk around. Subways never stop. They just slow down. And I'm like, I love this idea. So eventually I got a place on the West Side and it was pricey and I probably could get like a much larger place. I have a 1-bedroom place and it's tight. All right. It is tight. I got 2 dogs. I got a girlfriend. I've got the boy who comes by every now and then. The boy is my son. He comes by every other weekend and he's got like a loft bed. So we have a space for him, but it's tight in here. You know, like you bump into things. It's just, I used to have a 3-bedroom house. So a 3-bedroom house and trying to consolidate that down to a 500 square foot apartment, that was fun and challenging. And I had to talk to a friend of mine who helped me do this move. Shannon Morse, who's been on the show. She came over. She was helping me pack. And a lot has had to do with this completely cutthroat, ruthless kind of way of eliminating the amount of things I had to even move. And so we just started throwing out as many things as possible because, let's be serious, you know, you have these ideas. Hey, I have these projects I want to do, and maybe one day I'll use that tablet PC I have from 2002 to become an awesome digital picture frame, even though the viewing angles are crap. It's running Windows XP, and the resolution is garbage. It's like, no, just take the hard drive out, say goodbye. So a lot of that had to help. So when I came out here and I have all this, I have a lot less stuff, it actually made me feel better because I wasn't just buried in things. So what does this all got to do with happiness and the quest for peace? Well, the less stuff I have, the happier I get because I hate moving. As I hate moving, I really take a hard look at the things I own physically and decide whether they should exist or not. And I just did another pass with some of my stuff. I'm looking at all my comic books. I've got a bunch of them. I'm like, okay, listen. I haven't picked up these books apart from moving them in years. I love them. I cherish them. They're on display and available. But seriously, they don't get used very often. So I'm starting to get even more ruthless. I looked up these books and saw if they're available digitally. They are. Okay. I added them to a wish list in case I want to buy them. Now, I think it's kind of dumb that I have to rebuy something I bought already, but that let's just go beyond that. I don't feel entitled to steal a copy of it. Let's just say that. So I've piled all this stuff up. I've asked the library if they'll accept a donation. I'm still waiting to hear back on them. But I'm taking a bunch of books that I've had for a long time, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rid of them because I value space, and I value having open slots for other items that are now in storage above an alcove. So this is to make me happy, in theory, right? Because if you're trying to find stuff, I don't know if you find this agitating. I find it very agitating trying to find something that you know you have, but you have no idea where it is. Or you have a general idea, and it's just stuck somewhere. So the less stuff I have, the more I can find them, and the easier I'll be able to find them. Because right now there's a storage space right above the closet in the bedroom. It's a nice alcove. And it's housing like tools and guitar cases and other stuff like that. Because, well, you need to do that. So I want to have less stuff. I sold a bunch of my guitars before I came out here, which was, I felt bad. I felt like I was giving away a friend or something. I mean, I had like 6 guitars and 2 bass guitars, and I kept 1 guitar and 1 bass. Well, electric. I kept another acoustic. But that was very difficult. So the question was, moving to Manhattan, is that going to make you happy? Lower, you know, much smaller commute. I do have a very small commute. That does make me happy. I do enjoy that. I'm not on the train long enough to listen to, you know, like a great podcast, like an hour long show. I don't have enough time to read a book because I'm just standing there cramped on the 2 train. But that doesn't mean that I hate it. It's like, no, I'm back home and I can leave really late. I can leave at like 9 o'clock in the morning and I get to work by 9:30, which is great. Because if I wake up at 6, I'm awake for 3 hours before I even do anything, which is really nice. So I think right now, because it's the summer or the end of summer, it's warm. So it's still, you know, it's still nice. When it becomes winter and it's freaking cold out, that shorter commute is going to be way more fun for me because I don't have to worry about being out there too long because I live by the subway. It's a couple blocks. It's not that far. Yes, I've been in New York before. Yes, I know it gets cold. So everybody can stop telling me it's going to get cold. But being happy, am I happy in Manhattan? It's been a rough transition. I'm fine out here. I like it out here. I have a tendency to try to enjoy wherever I am. Whether it's New York, Petaluma, or if it's Randolph, Vermont, where I used to live for a couple of years, or Wallingford, Connecticut. Where else did I used to live? I don't know, but I shouldn't be giving away these answers because it's like security questions. It will probably be socially engineered. It's not even social. I'm just saying stuff, and you're getting answers to stuff. But I've lived in a lot of different places, and I try to enjoy it because when you don't, when you just kind of – fight reality, as I call it. You're just miserable. You know, when I moved to Vermont, I hated it. I was like, I don't get this. I don't want to be here. There's nothing going on. There's nobody here. There's no good food. There's no great bars. There's nothing. And that was really dumb, you know, fighting that as opposed to just finally letting it click. It took me 8 months before I realized the mountain view is really beautiful and peaceful. I get it. It's calming because there's these massive pieces of land over there that are just uninhabited. Well, I mean, they might have some people. It's not like, you know, the buildings of New York where you know life is going on everywhere. So because of that lesson, I learned not to fight where I am. So I'm in Manhattan. I like being in Manhattan. I'm close by to some awesome bars. There's great food here. There's lots of entertainment. The Beacon Theater is around the corner. I can't get tickets to anything because they're always sold out. The Dalai Lama was coming by to speak in November, and I cannot find a single ticket. Might look for it again because I would like to get some insight because that dude seems to be happy. You know, he seems to laugh a lot. What else am I nearby that I'm enjoying? Subway, like I said. Madison Square Garden is like 10 minutes from here. So I'm getting to experience things more. And as I've gotten older and being happy, because I'm going to turn 35 next week. 35. Halfway to 70. That's pretty freaking old. I can't believe I'm going to be 35. But one of the things that I've wanted for the past couple of years in this whole quest for happiness, quest for peace concept is I don't want to keep watching stuff. Like I have a TV behind me right now, right? I don't want to just keep being a passive viewer in life. I want to experience it. I want to enjoy it. I want to remember it. I want to learn from it. And I don't want to just simply be a passive observer in life. I mean, people watching is fun, and watching a movie or reading a book, these things are great distractions. You know, they're great for when you can't do stuff. But when you can experience life, it's way better. Because I remember when I had this epiphany years ago, first thing I did was, let's go skydiving. So I went skydiving because that's an experience. I needed to do that. And I started rock climbing, indoor rock climbing. That was something I hadn't done. I need to do some more activities now. I've kind of fallen into a rut. Moving out here, it's wonderful, but my work hours are long. I get back around 7 o'clock, and then I'm like, well, what do I want to do? And thankfully, I've had Liz help me get to the gym a lot more, because as much as I like working out at home, this is really small, and it's not the best when it comes to that. So going to a gym makes a lot more sense. Also, there's this whole idea of you're at the gym for one thing. You should be doing it, you know, not like goofing around on a phone. Which does drive me crazy when I see people on their phones sitting at a station when they should be working out or getting out of the way. See, I'm not there yet. I'm not there when it comes to calmness. But I do know that working out is always beneficial for my brain. Very helpful. I'm not making this up. I bring this up a lot of times because it does help me. It's a mental relaxer. You get basically your brain's like, here's some drugs. Be cool. Like, yeah, cool. And I'm too tired to be freaking angry because when I work out pretty hard. So I'm exhausted after, although I'm not exactly right. I'm not super happy right after. I'm like Ra's al Ghul after the Lazarus pit, just kind of nuts like for like an hour after. It's like, give me some protein and leave me alone for an hour. So because usually I'm just irritated that I'm not as good as I want to be. So that's a fun thing to have. But yeah, I've been in a rut out here. Like I moved here. I'm like, oh, there's lots of great bars. So I go to them. I'm like, this is not fun. I want to do other things. You know, I want to. It's great to have a beer, but like this can't be the entirety of my life. What else am I going to do? I started playing guitar again. I haven't played guitar in a long time. I got this game called Band Fuse, and it does guitar tab. If you know what that is, it's a way. If you don't know what that is, it's a way for people who don't read sheet music to play guitar. And I've never learned to read sheet music, or I tried and failed. And I just took up guitar tab when I was younger. So it's very easy to understand for me because I've been reading it for a while. And this game uses a real guitar, uses guitar tab like I know, and I am terrible at some of this stuff. And I feel good about being bad at something. That's what's crazy about this. I really like that I'm learning something again. And I've been thinking about this. Like now that I'm out out here, and I'm paying a lot of money to be here, and I pay a premium to be out on the west side and being near all these things. Just kind of questioning that. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I've been out here for a couple of months. You know, should I move out and have a long commute and save a lot more money, which would allow me to do crazier things? Or will I just never be able to do them and have a nice bank account, which is good too? Is that going to make me happy? And I don't know. I really don't know. This is something I've been weighing for a while. And I know when my brother was checking out the apartments, he was like, this is really expensive. You know, you could be living out in Queens and have a commute that's about, you know, an hour, but you save all this money. I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to be miserable because 2 hours a day I'm going to be on the train. And I don't want to be on a train for 2 hours. I don't want to get up early to get to the train. I don't want to say at the end of the night, I can't be out with you guys from work because I have to go a whole hour after this, which I really didn't like in California, where I had to do that a lot. It's like, oh, I can't hang out in San Francisco. The last bus is at 7:40. I get home at 9 o'clock at night. Then I have to sleep at 10 to get up at 5 to get the 5:35 bus. Like, it was not a good time doing that commute. Really enjoyed the San Francisco office. Enjoyed being in San Francisco. Got a nice fix of the city. Made some great friends. But the commute was killing me. And I really don't like that kind of thing. So that's basically what I'm paying for. I'm paying to be in this tiny space. And the real thing is I'm not paying to be in here. I'm paying so I can go outside. And so in my quest for peace, as I keep saying this, it's not a drinking game like every time I say it, but it's starting to sound like one. In my quest for peace, I've been trying to figure out what's more important to me. And I think you know, maybe in the long run, maybe when I get older, just really old, I don't know when, because I'm pretty old now, that I will finally think, yeah, a house with a backyard and a driveway and 2-car garage and whatever the heck you would have. Maybe at some point I'll think that's a good idea. I've already had the suburban life for a couple of years. I really don't like it. I've never liked the idea of – I don't really like driving anymore. I used to love driving when I was like 16, but that was like 20 years ago, right? I don't need that kind of freedom. Just give me a subway and give me a MetroCard and I'm happy. I don't need – or an Uber. Just get me somebody else to drive. I do not want to maintain the car. I don't want to maintain insurance. I don't want to worry about flats. I don't want to worry about theft, damage, any of this stuff when it comes to ownership of things like a car. But I am getting to live this experiment where I'm in a 500-square-foot space, a tiny kitchen where I barely ever cook if it's not microwaved. I can't really work out at home without like disrupting somebody else. It's like, okay, Liz, can you just go into the one bedroom while I hang out and like sweat all over this floor and then come back out in an hour? Which is, I think, doable, but it's also not as, you know, great as like when I had a house and I was like, I'm just going to go out to the garage, work out, sweat like crazy, come back inside, take a shower. You know, that kind of activity, just a different kind of mindset. Although, I mean, I'm not crazy. If I was paying, if they had a 2-bedroom at what I'm paying, I probably would have gotten that. So it's not like I really want to be in a tiny space. But I also wanted to enjoy this idea of, could I do it? Could I not enjoy the idea, explore the idea? Because I've looked into small space living for a long time. And I wanted to be a minimalist. And to have a cutthroat idea of material possessions. Because to me, stuff does not equal happiness. Stuff is not happiness. I can own, or I can enjoy a lot of things, right? I can have a lot of toys. But the idea of this, what drives me nuts, is that there's a lot of costs to carrying these things. So if you got, like when I was a kid, I always wanted my own airplane. I always wanted to have a private jet. And then I ran the idea by my dad. He's like, well, you're going to have a hangar and there's fuel costs and then there's licensing fees and then there's this and this and this and this. And the more he talked about it, the more I had realized, actually now I'm realizing this, that he probably looked into it and he didn't want to pay for this because it's crazy. Why would you do that? Why you would do it is so you can fly anywhere, be on your own schedule. I love that idea. Not having the same uncontrolled environment, right? If it's a private jet, you know who you're flying with. It's a little bit easier to handle as opposed to the uncertainty of, is there a crying baby? Is there a very large human being who's going to be spilling over into my seat? Will my window seat actually have a window, or am I on the side that has a placard that's covering that section? Is there going to be a rude flight attendant? Is there going to be some weird looks because I'm brown? What am I going to get into? But anyway, it's not worth it. Like just being mildly inconvenienced for about an hour before I get to somewhere. Well, that's fine. And it's not worth the cost of ownership. What I have found out is access is just as good as ownership. Like I don't need to own a beach house, but like if I can access one and I enjoy it the same way, I don't need to worry about the insurance costs and the flooding and whatever else it is. Because as I've gotten older, you become really freaking aware of all the expenses you're paying for. And I'm like, okay, let me just farm this out. I don't want to be doing this. So am I happy in Manhattan? Man, this is like a stream of consciousness thing. So I don't know whether you guys are enjoying this or you're miserable with it, but thanks for still listening at this point. I should push the show a little bit. This show is called Quest for Peace. It's available at gfqnetwork.com, where I do two shows right now, Quest for Peace and Podcast Without Pretense, two programs that I enjoy doing. And that's what's one of the best things is I'm enjoying doing this. That's one of the reasons why I do this. And why I do this program is because I'm really curious what makes people tick. And normally I have guests on this program, or I used to. I'm going to bring that back. I'll have some more people to interview and find out how they have found happiness, what they do to curtail their brain from going out of whack like mine is most of the time. I've gotten some great insights from a lot of the guests. We've had Shannon Morrison, we've had Scott Johnson, Tom Merritt. We've had some great people, great friends of mine who are just, Andrew Zarian's been on, they're in that same kind of idea. And they're all driven people. They all want to enjoy their life. None of us, and I'm putting myself in that class of people, that we're not just happy just kind of going through the motions of life. Being alive is a gift. This was something that a friend of mine said a long time ago. He looked at me. I looked really bummed. I looked really agitated. I was like 19. It's like, you shouldn't be so angry. And I was like, why? He goes, because every day you're alive is a gift. And I was like, that sounds really stupid. Like this guy is some kind of hippie who runs, triathlons he does triathlons. He's this super athletic guy and there's something wrong with this guy. That's what I thought then. Because that's dumb kid then. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he's right. Dude seems happy. He's a personal trainer. He's doing what he enjoys. He's exercising. He likes music. He's having a good time. And that was something that stuck in my head since I've been 19. So this has been in my head for a very long time. So a lot of us are like, this is life and you don't have another chance. And yeah, there might be an afterlife and I have no idea. And there might be reincarnation. I have no idea. I have no idea what happens after this. But if you're going to be here, you might as well enjoy your time. And my big thing, and I've been like the way I've been trying to hack this together in my head, how the hell could I ever be happy? Everything annoys me. Everything. Ticking clocks drive me insane. Just hearing tick, 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 tick. I don't know why. I don't know why I fixate. I don't know why my brain is like, you hear that freaking noise? Yeah, I hear that noise. I want to kill everything. See, that's a problem when my brain does that. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So my big hack has been, how do I create a mindset that I can just hear what's happening or see what's happening and just merely observe it without reacting to it? How can I just simply be? Or in a more complicated way, how can I be less annoyed? And the real thing is, these things that drive me nuts, ticking clocks or like honking horns or car alarms or, a rude person on the subway who bumps into you or whatever the heck it is, those things are always going to happen, right? There's nothing I can really do about that. I mean, I've thought about having a bunch of bodyguards with a bunch of cow catchers and get the people out of my freaking way. And if there's a ticking clock and I have a personal assistant who's like, take that battery out of that clock, that would be nice. That would be insane, but that would be nice. But then again, I'd find something else to get irritated with, right? Let's be straight about this. If I find these things irritating, I'm going to find everything irritating. So the concept is how to be less annoyed. And I've done that through some degree of meditation. where I've listened to this one guided meditation on Buddhify 2. It's an app for iOS. Costs a couple bucks, but it's worth it. And this concept, you don't even need to buy the app to know this concept. It's this idea of just observing things, just being in the space you are in, and simply letting yourself see the item that's happening or listening to what happens, and just giving yourself permission to feel what you're feeling. And then just trying to move past it, because it's really not that important. There's also a thing called non-identification, which I think is extraordinarily helpful, that I am not my opinions. I am not my fan loyalties to sports teams. I am not my own actions even. I'm like, and to other people, I'm that way. But I'm bigger than that. So I might get angry about something, or somebody might do something that angers me. But I don't want to just say, you know, this person is just, they're just a crappy person. It's like, no, they did something stupid. Everybody does something stupid at some point. Just don't identify the action with the person. You can identify the action as its own. I can identify my own actions as my own. But like, if I'm a Yankees fan, the Yankees are not getting the playoffs, I'm not going to feel bummed about that. I might feel like, ah, that's too bad. But I'm not going to have people like goad me into a fight. This used to happen like in college. Like I went to school in Boston. So I was constantly talked smacked to when it comes to the Yankees. I never bothered to do that because I just thought it's a really stupid idea. I don't like the idea of smack talk because I don't want to be smacked talk to. Is that the proper use of that? I don't know. Anyway, so I just simply try to go, okay, I am something beyond my emotions. So if I'm really angry, because that happens, I'm really irritated because something happened. Here's a really good example. My dog over there freaking loves to eat cigarettes now. She goes outside, she looks for cigarettes and tries to eat them. I freaking hate that because it makes her stomach upset. She's got diarrhea. I've got to take her out more often. And it's obviously harming her. And I have to, like every single time I catch her do it, I have to reach into her mouth and pull this thing out. My hand is covered in disgusting stuff. And I'm pulling out a cigarette. I need to make sure that she doesn't re-eat. Now that is really irritating. Okay. Now I can choose to become irritation and become just this horrible person. Okay, look, you are irritated right now. This is something that's something else. You are not your feeling. You are something beyond that. The best example was in this meditation in Buddhify 2 that explained your emotions as the weather. And you are the sky. Not this guy, but the sky, S-K-Y. And that idea to me was, it hit hard. That's true. You know, just because there's weather going through doesn't mean the sky is changing. It just means that the weather's changing. This might all sound like a bunch of nonsense to you guys. So if it does, I apologize. But it really did speak to me. But this idea of not identifying yourself as the weather, but as the sky, just kind of blew my mind. Of like, just simply separate these two things, because the weather will change. Things will pass. But you're always going to be you. So I've been trying to figure out ways to be less annoyed about everything. You know, I came back to the apartment one day when Liz was gone. She went to visit her family in California. And both the dogs had gotten out. And one of them had decided to drop a deuce in the living room, which I was not happy about. Now, the only thing I could do was just clean it up, take care of the dogs, and do something else. That's not true. I could have gotten irritated. I could have gotten really angry. It was warm. It was hot. It felt like it was sticky. I mean, just felt, you know, it was a gross kind of day. And I came back home and it did not smell good because the apartment was too warm and this had happened. And I just had to clean. There's nothing I could do. So simply don't punish the dogs because they don't know what's happening. Simply the amount of time that's passed between the event and now, that they're not going to put that together. No amount of punishment is going to make them realize what's happening. And that's because I know dogs a bit and I've read about them. And it's really dumb to try to punish somebody for something they don't even know what's going on. All they're going to think is you just lost your mind. So I just immediately took care of them, cleaned the place up a number of times. I probably scrubbed the ground about, I don't know, five or six times that day. And I kept doing it. in a process so the place wouldn't reek, and it smells fine now. And I don't know really why my brain didn't trigger like just extreme anger and frustration. And just it's like, no, the only thing you can do is the next step. You can get really mad that this happened. That's not going to undo anything. That's one of the things that I've been trying to really stick to in my head. Yeah, you know what? Something crappy happened. We can just sit here and get super angry and just get annoyed. Just be like, you know what? That did happen. That really bothered me. That really bothered me that this happened. Yeah, that's wonderful. But it's already done. This is something I've been trying to figure out with my older age. Like, this stuff already happened. What can you do now? Because otherwise, if you're just sitting seething or just pacing or whatever, if you're not doing anything to address the issue, you're just going to seethe. You're just going to burn. You're going to get angry. I really don't like burning. I don't like being angry anymore. I really don't like it. It's just kind of frustrating. It's funny because you get angry about being angry, or I do. And I'm like, no, can't do that. Got to really pull back. Go back to that non-identification. I might feel angry. This is going to pass. What can I do about this? What is addressable? And one of the things I've learned is that distracting myself is not necessarily the answer. If I am upset with something and I am merely just looking at Reddit or playing Tetris or something just to take my mind off of it, that won't necessarily solve the issue. I might just get just as angry right after I'm done with it. And if you're not using your time to address the issues you're having, you're not going to get over them. Anyway, that's a whole lot of stuff for the first episode back. Moved to New York, in a rut, working on it, meditating a lot more lately. I've got hobbies, playing guitar, going to the gym again, trying to find new non-bar activities because I love beer, but I really want to do more with my life than having a beer. I mean, that's fun, but I enjoy a lot of things. So I need to find more things to do. I've been looking at a lot of experiences, events at Groupon or Living Social, whatever these sites are called. Like, I'm going to a hockey game tomorrow. I went to a wrestling event a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that time we did this thing? I like that idea. I want to enjoy that more. You know, I'm not exactly a great person at Facebook where I'm like taking hundreds of photos and you see all the things I do. And I don't want to have a Facebook life where you only see like, hey, look at all this cool shit I'm doing. Yeah, I swore. Excuse me. Look at all this cool stuff. It's like just, that's another thing. I don't really care for that kind of boastfulness. It's just simply go do it. Enjoy it. Experience it. Move on. Trouble with that is it can become addicting, just like drinking, just like adrenaline. You know, you enjoy that, you want to do it again. Want to do it again. Want to do it again. Very hard to be content when you're a junkie on adrenaline or learning something new. What else could you learn? Obviously, all this stuff goes back to money. You know, if I want to go learn a new skill, it's going to cost me something. If I want to go and do an experience, it's going to cost me something. Most times, the crazier the activity, like a skydive or indoor rock climbing, you know, these things cost money. And that goes back to this idea of, hey, doofus, you decided to live in Manhattan where you're paying a premium to be in a location. So your commute time is low. So this is all kind of starting to weigh together. So this is all tied together. All this happiness stuff is totally tied together for me. What's going to feed my soul? What's going to make me feel happy that I woke up this morning and I went to work, I did my job, and I feel good about it? I want to feel great about what I do all the time. And when I don't enjoy it, I'm in the dumps. I don't like that feeling, and I've been vocal about that, so I'm working on that. I always want to do more than I'm doing. And so that's a lot of dissatisfaction in just being, but that's something I have to learn to deal with. I'm working on that. Like I mentioned before, techniques I've been using, meditation, exercise, relying on Liz a lot more, just being flatly honest with her and explaining to her. Again, for those of you who are not paying attention, Liz is my girlfriend who lives with me. We have talked, like, I need a lot of support. I'm bad at doing this. Can you get me to do this? Can you help me get to the gym? Can you be more encouraging when I do something good that you know that I'm struggling with? Because I need that pat on the back. I'll be honest about that. I like a pat on the back when I do a good job. And if I do a bad job, finding out why I did that and doing better, I like that. You know, I need feedback. It's one of the reasons why I had dissatisfaction at other jobs and other things. Is like, if I don't get feedback, I don't know what the hell's happening. And maybe that's my own problem, because I probably could figure that out. Maybe there's a bunch of people out there who don't need feedback, and they don't need a pat on the back, or they don't need constructive criticism. They don't. Maybe they just don't want to hear it. And there's some kind of class of people who do that. I don't know how to do that. I like figuring stuff out. I like finding out things. I once had this job interview where I was asked the question of, well, what happens when you do a project and you've gone too far in the wrong direction? And I had to make up an answer, because that was a complete BS question. Because for me, that doesn't happen. This sounds like I'm boasting, but it seriously doesn't happen. I don't go the wrong way in a project, because I'm usually asking questions as I'm doing it to make sure that I'm doing the project correctly. So I don't go the wrong way in a project. I should have answered that way. This was back when I was in my 20s. I should have just told people that. It's like, I don't do that. I'm sorry. I can't. Because I look for feedback. I look for answers. I look for advice from people who know what they're doing. So I'm not going to go the wrong way and too far. I might go one step too far and go, is that correct? And they go, no. And I go, oh, I'll undo it and try it again. I don't even know where I was going with this. But anyway, I was explaining how the people who don't need feedback, and I need feedback. But I've been working on just all of this stuff together. You know, having a move, being the new guy at work for like the third time. It's the second time this year, actually, that I'm the new guy at work. Because I was the new guy in the San Francisco office. Now I was the new guy in the New York office. Now I'm less the new guy, which is nice. Just, you know, new adjustments, new buildings. The place is being renovated at work, so it's still very in flux. So there's a lot less stability. And this apartment finally came together. There's a tool chest behind me, and I need to fill it so I can clear some of the storage space. I'm very happy that this exists now. All of these things are coming together to find a bit of certainty in a basically insane kind of situation. And I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, is it worth the money to stay out here and, you know, go to a gym instead of working out at home? Is it worth it to find activities that are on a discount? Because if I wanted to go bowling in Manhattan, I used to go bowling all the time in Petaluma. Bowling in Petaluma is dirt cheap. Well, if I want to bowl out here, it costs an arm and a leg. Now, if I moved out to Brooklyn or like Queens, costs go down. It's not going to be like as cheap as Petaluma, but it'll be cheap. So I get to have more experiences, but I might be miserable every day because I have to do 2 hours of commuting. I don't know what's worth it. For me, I think the time is worth it. But that's what I think right now. That's why I'm living in Manhattan. Will I be living in Manhattan next year? I have no idea. I plan to. But, you know, one of the bigger things I learned in this whole quest for peace thing, don't worry about your plan necessarily, because you can work towards the things you want to do. But man, it's hard. You're not going to necessarily run the way you plan. You're not going to get into the planned life. It's funny. About 3 or 4 years ago, I wanted to move to Manhattan. I wanted to be working where I work now. Oddly enough, 3 years later, I work in the same building I used to work in 3 years ago. I was looking to live on the east side when I was moving out of upstate New York. I live on the west side. I have the two dogs again, who I didn't have for a while. I have the short commute. I have my son every couple of weekends. So it's kind of like this Twilight Zone version of a life that I wanted to have. So I don't know if this is the right way to go. And as I'm getting older, I'm 35, this is going to be fun. Having a quest for peace while having a midlife crisis, freaking fantastic. So I have no idea how this show is going to go from here on in. I know that I'm dissatisfied about a lot of things right now, and I'm handling them a lot better, and I'm trying to figure this stuff out still. So stay tuned all season. I don't know if we're going to do seasons. I'm just going to call them seasons, because if there's going to be a large break, just call them seasons. People expect that. Stay tuned this season to find out what the hell am I going to do to be happy. And hopefully next week I'll have somebody here and we'll talk about what they did to be happy. I have no idea who I'm going to talk to. Maybe it'll be somebody I talked to before. Why not? But next Sunday is my birthday. So I don't know if I want to do a show on my birthday, but I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to figure this out. But this show is back. I'm really glad you're here. If you wanted to find out more about the show, go to gfqnetwork.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Iaz. That's I-Y-A-Z. You can find out things about me there. Let's see. I'm really terrible updating my blog at iaz.tv, so stay to Twitter with me because that's pretty easy. If you are a Facebook person, you're like, hey, I really want to follow you on Facebook, I do have that option. I'm Iaz Akhtar on Facebook. You can find me. You can follow me if you want to. I really don't post there that often, but when I do, it's different than Twitter. I do make a very concerted effort. If I put something on Facebook, it's not on Twitter. If it's on Twitter, it's not on Facebook. And Google Plus, I'm there, but like I'm a ghost. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I tried to get into it, and when I got into Google Plus, everybody who knew me at that point only wanted my information about technology. Should I show them any interest in something called beer, or any interest in something called life, or any interest in something called sports, I would get flamed on Google Plus, which kind of put me off of it. It's like, I'm a human being. I'm a three-dimensional human being. I have other interests other than technology. So, you know, next week, I know what I want to talk about in the next episode, about being a nerd, because I don't know which group I fit in with anymore. That's a whole other thing. Who are you? I'm playing with a rubber man. It's very exciting. Anyway, that does it for me this time. Go to gfqnetwork.com, subscribe to this show. So when you subscribe, when this show does show up, you can get it automatically in iTunes, or you can get it on YouTube. You can subscribe on YouTube. Do that stuff, because that's the easiest way to get this program. Thanks, everybody, for listening and or watching. I'll be back in a while, still trying to find happiness and trying to find some peace in this wacky, wacky world.